Book of Job, chapter 15, verse 1.
Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, "Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or with speeches wherewith he can do no good?"
Now here we see, last time, if you remember, Job always end his chapter with a problem, with unbelief and doubt. Now Eliphaz, he's trying to tell him, you know what, you talk too much. And when you're talking too much, the wise man should not be talking foolishly. If you are a wise man, you are a godly man, and the words coming out of your mouth, just like a hot air. When you say east wind is hot wind. So I think from that people are saying he's hot air or hot balloon or something like that. I think it came from here. So he's saying your talk is like a hot air. There is no meaning what you're saying. And when you're talking, you do not talk with the understanding. A wise man, you should be talking something good. But you're not talking good. So they're saying, we cannot listen this foolish talk and keep quiet. That's what he says, I want to answer you. Verse 4.
Yea, thou castest off fear and restrainest prayer before God.
He's saying, you are a godly man. Instead of giving reverence to God, be fearful to God, respect God and pray, but you are not doing that. You just complain, complain, complain. As a man of God, you should be thankful to God, you should be praying and have reverence. But as you see last week, last chapter we read about Job, he was talking to God just like he's talking to ordinary man, and very roughly he talked. That's why these people listening, even though they are not godly like Job, but they do not want Job, you know, talking back to God and not listening to God. Verse 5.
For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I, yea, thine own lips testify against thee.
He's saying your mouth talking sinful things. And you are using the word like an unsaved, crafty person. The child of God, their words should be graceful. St. Paul says your words should be salted, and people should be listening, and gracefully you should be talking. But when he's angry, he's talking so rough and using the unsaved person's word. So he says, I'm not condemning you. Your mouth will condemn you. Your lips will condemn you. So what you're saying and what you're talking, you are not doing as the child of God, as the servant of God, as the holy man of God. And you are being a wise person, you thinking you are, but you are not using your language properly. That is condemning you, not me. Verse 7.
Art thou the first man that was born, or wast thou made before the hills?
Now he is a little bit taunting the Job. He is trying to say, you are not that old. He says, you are the first man was born. Actually, there was no first man born. God created man. It was not born. But he is thinking he is smart. So he is saying, you were born the first person in the world. And you were born before all the hills and valleys and mountains were created. So he is taunting him. He is trying to tell him, you're not that old. And you're not that wise. Let's read the verse 8.
Hast thou heard the secret of God, and dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us?
What he's saying, do you know the secret of God? When God was creating everything, he was planning. Did you know what God was doing? And he says, you are just thinking that you are wise, but you don't understand. You are not that old to understand all these things. And so he is a little bit mad at him. He says, you thinking you're so smart, but what you know, we know. And what we don't know, that you know. So he's trying to tell him, you are not that smart, you are not that old, but you are thinking that you are smart, that you have wisdom, and you have understanding, but your lips, your talking, does not prove that you are a man of God. Verse 10.
With us are both the gray-headed and very aged men, much elder than thy father.
You thinking that you are smart, but we are here, much older than you, and we have gray hair, and we have knowledge. Your father is not old like us. So when somebody talks about your father, people get really angry, father or mother. So he is saying, your father is not old, you are not old, but we are here. The Eliphaz was the oldest person there. So he is so proud that he is old, but we learn in a previous chapter, even though you're old, you can be senile. You're old, your mind can be not right in the old age. So he is bragging about their wisdom and their understanding, tactic of telling him that he is not smart, we are smart. And if you remember last time, he said, Job said, you thinking that you are a physician? Well, you are useless. You are unworthy physician and you cannot help me. So they are fighting like a cat and dog for no reason. They are supposed to come and encourage him. If you're going to talk to somebody about God or about their problem, you don't find their fault and try to trash them. You have to tell them Jesus is the answer, whatever problem you're going through, God will help you, and something like that. These people, they came here to harass Job. Verse 11.
Are the consolations of God small with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Why doth thine heart carry thee away, and what do thy eyes wink at?
Actually, they are thinking they are the counselors of God. They are there to comfort him, and they are giving the God's word. And he says, God's knowledge, God's words, God's comfort is not good enough for you. What are you thinking that you, in your eyes, you think whatever, but you are not thinking about God and God's favor up to now, God, what has done? So he's saying, you are acting like a worldly man. Verse 13.
That thou turnest thy spirit against God and lettest such words go out of thy mouth.
Now again he's saying, you are turning against God. Last time he said, you are mocking God. And you are against God, you are talking against God, and your mouth has no control. If you are talking to God, the word of God says, reason with me. Then you talk with God, pray, and be humble in the sight of God. You cannot get things by fighting and war. And God is not afraid of anybody. He's saying you are using the scare tactic. But that's not a good thing. Verse 14.
What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous?
Now, if you remember, in the last chapter, Job is saying, the man is born by woman, is born for trouble. They're like a flowers, and they're always having problems. And whoever born into this world, nothing good is going to happen. But this man is using words. Now, nobody will notice this because different translation use different ways. But in this translation, he says, if the man is born by woman, that man will be never righteous. That's false, right? Jesus Christ was born by woman. Just read Galatians chapter 4, verse 4.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
The word of God says God sent his son through the woman. Why? Because he promised Adam, the seed of woman will crush the head of Satan. And he gave the prophecy to Isaiah, if you remember, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that the virgin will bring forth the son. So this Eliphaz doesn't know these things because it was not revealed to those people. They're thinking if anyone is born into this world, they are not righteous, they are not going to be righteous, they are all sinners. And one way it is true, because all mankind is born into this world because of Adamic sin, each and everyone is a sinner. They need a savior. But when he makes the statement, if anyone is born by woman, he will be never be righteous. But thank God we were born by woman. But because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, we are righteous. So this person doesn't understand Job chapter 15 and verse 15.
Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water?
Now, what he's saying to Job, he's saying God doesn't trust any saints, any angel. He doesn't trust anyone. Not only that, the heavens also are unholy. And so he said, if the God doesn't trust angels, God doesn't trust heaven, the heaven is already polluted. So he said, if you compare the mankind with the angels or saints of God or the heaven above, we are born filthy. Not only that, the mankind is drinking sin like a water. Actually, he says the mankind is thirsty for sin. They have a desire to sin because it's built in their life, in the blood, that they will be craving for sin. We are all sinners, but actually he's a little bit wrong here. I'll tell you what wrong he's saying. God doesn't hate angels, but he hates the fallen angel. And the heaven, actually, when the throne of God is, when the people are thinking angel committed sin, going against God, so the heaven was polluted. But the word of God says Jesus Christ took his blood, went to most heavenly place, and the heaven is cleansed. But now this atmosphere, first heaven and second heaven, and the earth is still polluted. The word of God says in the book of Romans chapter 8, the whole world is groaning and waiting for the redemption. But thank God we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But the world creation is still groaning. Only this curse will go in the millennium. So here this person saying something, thinking that he has a little bit knowledge where the sin happened and God hates angels and things like that, but he is not telling properly. And if somebody reading this, like ordinary people in 21st century, they are going to think, what kind of God is this? He hates the angels. He hates the servants of God. His heaven is polluted. And so what? We are all unholy, and this man is saying nobody is holy. Everybody born into this world, they are drinking sin like a water, and nobody's perfect. And that's the kind of teaching you give, and some denominations are giving today. Nobody's clean, nobody's holy, nobody's perfect. And then Jesus Christ coming and dying for us is useless. We have to believe that Jesus Christ came and he washed away our sins. Now when we stand before God, we are righteous. And we have a holy boldness to come to God. Okay, verse 17.
I will show thee, hear me, and that which I have seen I will declare, which wise men have told from their fathers and have not hid it, unto whom alone the earth was given, and no stranger passed among them.
Now he's saying, let me tell you, I have experience, I have knowledge, and I learned from my forefathers. And everybody should learn from their forefathers. And I learned that God has blessed them, gave them land, and no enemy should trespass. Means we should not be allowing enemy to take away what God has given to our forefathers and us. God gave the whole earth to Adam. But he allowed this enemy coming and ruining the whole life, Adam, and took his property in everything and ruined everything. So he's saying, I'm so wise, I'm giving you advice. Don't ruin God-given blessings. So he is saying you are allowing enemy to do it. But actually, these are the people, enemy, and trying to harass him. Okay, let's read the verse 20.
The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor.
Now, if you start reading this chapter from verse 20 to the last verse, so you will see, now this man is trying indirectly to talk to Job that you are not a righteous man. If you are a righteous man, then good things keep on happening to you. But he's saying, let me tell you from my own experience what happened to the people who do not listen to God. He says, all wicked people in this world, they have problems all their life they're living, and they cannot be prosper in this world. Sin brings you all kinds of destruction, all kinds of problems, and he's trying to say, you know why this problem happened to you? You are a sinner. That's the point he's bringing. Verse 21.
A dreadful sound is in his ears, and prosperity the destroyer shall come upon him.
See, he says, if you are a sinner, if you are a troublemaker, if you are a wicked person, always something ringing in your ears. What is it ringing? Destruction. The people who are thieves and robbers, always they hear the siren, even though they are not coming to him, they get scared. Siren, the noise is coming. Somebody's after me. They are afraid of talk. They are afraid of noises. And they are so much scared of everybody. Even the little bit leaf falls in the ground at noise, they get scared. He said, that's the way wicked are. Verse 22.
He believeth not that he shall return out of darkness, and he is waited for of the sword.
Now he said he has no faith that this darkness, these gloomy days will go away. But he says he's afraid that somebody will kill me. The sword will kill me. Somebody will destroy me. That's the trouble in their mind all the time. Means they have no peace. Verse 23.
He wandereth abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knoweth that the day of darkness is ready at his hand.
Now he says he's wandereth abroad, and he says, where is the bread? Somebody says, why has to go all around the world to looking for bread? He's not talking about the real bread. He's talking about the person is looking for job. Everywhere he goes, and there is no job. Why? Because you are a bad person. You are a murderer, you are a killer, you went to jail and you came out of the jail, you cannot find a job. So he says they wander around and looking for job and no job, but only fear of darkness. What is thinking? If somebody finds out I did something, I might go to jail again, I'm going to darkness again. So darkness in their mind, and they cannot prosper. They're looking for bread and say, where is bread? Means they're looking for job, no job. Okay, verse 24.
Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. They shall prevail against him as a king ready to the battle.
Now he says, trouble and anguish. Fear and doubt always will be with them. And they will be thinking, you know what? Somebody's coming to kill me. He says, not ordinary people, just like a king coming for battle. When a king comes, he's not coming alone. So he is coming with a warrior. So that's the kind of fear. Somebody will kill me. Somebody will destroy me. My life is in danger. But they don't change. They are just live in fear and anxiety. Verse 25.
For he stretcheth out his hand against God and strengtheneth himself against the Almighty.
Now he's saying, just like he's indirectly telling Job. Job is doing this, what he's saying. He said they stretch their hands against God. And that, you remember some people say, I'm going to fight with God. Where is he? They're thinking that they can do I told you, one man told me, show me your God and I'll kill him. So the point I'm making, he's saying some people fight with God and try to argue with God, and that's what you're doing it. And you're not going to win. Okay, verse 26.
He runneth upon him, even on his neck, upon the thick bosses of his bucklers. Because he covereth his face with his fatness and maketh collops of fat on his flanks.
Now he said, this is the guy who is the unsaved man. He is always in trouble. He has no peace. And even though he was looking for a bread, means job, he doesn't have a job. But he's fat. How did he get fat without food? Before that, he said he's looking for bread and doesn't find a bread. So what he's doing? He's robbing people, he's killing people, he's taking their money, and he's getting fat. His face is fat, his belly is fat, and he's very fat. And he says, that's the kind of person he's living, but he cannot prosper. Verse 28.
And he dwelleth in desolate cities and in houses which no man inhabiteth, which are ready to become heaps.
Now he's saying, he's trying to give the picture of this wicked man. He said, now this person is wandering. He doesn't have his house. Why? Because he's a criminal. He has no house, so where is he living? He's living in a broken down houses. It's the picture of today's society. The people have broken houses and things like that. So the homeless people and drug addict and people living in those houses. I was thinking, this talking about thousands of years ago. The abandoned houses you are living, and you are hiding yourselves. But he says, don't worry. Whatever the house you're living now, that house will be demolished. And then you would not have any house. So indirectly says to Job, you know what? You had the houses and mansions and everything. And you had everything, all this demolished. Everything is finished. That's the way it happens to the sinners. Okay, verse 29.
He shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue, neither shall he prolong the perfection thereof upon the earth.
Now he's saying, those kind of people, the people are troublemaker, those people will never be rich. They think they are rich, but their richness goes away. They can make lots of money, but next day it's gone. And so he said, they cannot be rich, and their substance will not increase, or they will never prosper on this earth. So the wicked people's life is miserable. And so he's saying, you know, if you are a godly person, you can be rich, you can be prosperous, but if you're not godly, everything is going to vanish away. Verse 30.
He shall not depart out of darkness, the flame shall dry up his branches, and by the breath of his mouth shall he go away.
Now he's saying, let me tell you more about this wicked person. He says he will live in darkness, and the fire will consume his branches. What the branches? If you are a tree and you have branches, means you have children and grandchildren, all prosperity. But he says, not only you will be destroyed, the flame will destroy your children and your grandchildren, and finally, your breath. You're thinking you're so smart and you're so powerful, but you are one breath away. So you're going to finish and vanish. That's the kind of message he's going to give to wicked people. You think you have fatness, you have all the wisdom and everything, but you will not prosper, your children will not prosper, and you are only one breath away. Verse 31.
Let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense.
He says, don't get deceived, don't live in a fantasy world, don't live in vanity, because you do not have any reward. Your life is miserable. And let's read a little bit further.
It shall be accomplished before his time, but his branch shall not be green. He shall shake off his unripe grape as the vine, and shall cast off his flower as the olive.
Now he says, you are not going to prosper. Your children are not going to prosper. All the green branches will be consumed. And they will be consumed like unripe grapes, or even the flower of olive. Means if the flower falls, the grape falls, that means no fruit. You will not have fruitful life for you and your children. So he's painting the picture how the wicked people's life is, and he says, I am an old man, I have seen all these things in my life, so I want to tell you this life of wicked is miserable. Verse 34.
For the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery.
Again he is saying the wicked people's house, wicked people's everything what he has, tabernacle means his house, everything will desolate, everything will be destroyed. So that means you, your houses, your children, and everything what you have will be destroyed. Verse 35.
They conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceits.
They do mischiefs, they bring all kinds of vanity, and they will not have any prosperity or any children, or their wives will not have children. All kinds of problem he's describing, not for him, not for his children, but children's wife or family, they cannot reproduce. They will not have any prosperity, and everything will be disaster if you're not godly. So he is just warning Job. Now here, Job chapter 16, Job is angry, and now he is going to answer him. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 16, and starting from verse 1.
Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all.
Now he's saying, you know what? I heard all the time the people like you, you are a miserable comforter. You came to comfort me, but you are not a good comforter. You are a miserable yourself. When you are miserable, you cannot comfort somebody else. So he's saying, you are a miserable comforter, and you are coming to tell me, to comfort me. You are wrong. Verse 3, okay.
Shall vain words have an end, or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest?
Eliphaz was saying to him, your words like a hot air. Now he is saying, your words are not good, and your words are not going to comfort me, and your words has no answer what you're talking to me. Means you don't have knowledge. You telling me you have knowledge, but actually I figured it out. You have no comfort. You cannot give me any comfort with your knowledge and with your word. Verse 4.
I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief.
He's saying, you know what? You are coming to comfort me, but you are, instead of comforting me, you are saying so many harsh things to me. And he says, if you were in my shoes, if you had the same problem like me, I could do the same thing. But he said, I would not do that kind of thing. I would comfort you. I would be loving and kind to you. I will not be nasty like you doing to me. And he will be telling you later on how Job talked with other people, helped other people, and give comfort to other people. But he says, you are not giving any comforting things to me, but you are just harassing me. You have no knowledge how to comfort people. And so he is a little bit angry, and he is saying, in your lips, there is no comfort for me. So if you think that you are like me, and what trouble I'm going through, you would have a little bit compassion, but you don't. Okay, let's read verse 6.
Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he hath made me weary, thou hast made desolate all my company.
Now, up to now, he was talking to the Eliphaz. He's saying, as I speak, and you people are harassing me, but let me tell you, if I don't speak, I will be more miserable. Sometimes people say, I want to get it out of my system. When somebody, something is bothering them, they have to talk to somebody. And they have to tell somebody what's bothering them. So he said, that's what I'm doing. If I don't do it, I will be more miserable. So I have to tell you people and tell God how I'm miserable. But now he's saying, I'm not talking to you. You know, last chapter, if you remember, he said, if you shut your mouth, you will be much wiser. But you are foolish talking to me. Don't talk to me. Keep quiet and let me talk. So the same way he is saying, your talk is not going to comfort me, but I'm not talking with you. I'm going to talk with God. And now he's telling God what God is doing to him. Let's read the verse 8.
And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face.
Now he's talking to God. He says, you know, God, you made me miserable. And the proof is this, my skin is wrinkled, means I'm not old, but I look like an old man. And my body is hurting. And he says, you're looking at me, people can figure it out how miserable I am. He says, not only wrinkles and everything, but he says, my body, my face, my life, they are hating me. You remember the word of God said that Jesus Christ was on the cross and his face was not that beautiful looking, and people were passing by, they don't want to look at the face. So some of the things when we're reading in this chapter, Job didn't know what he was talking, but he was maybe prophesying what's going to happen to Jesus Christ. Let's read a little bit further.
He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me.
Now see, nobody was hitting Job. Nobody was fighting with him, just talking and encouraging him. But he was the mad person. So he is saying, these people are gathered here. They are talking bad to me. And they are hitting on my cheek. And they are making my life miserable. Actually, people were pulling the beards of Jesus Christ. They were hitting on his face. But the word of God says he never opened his mouth. He kept everything. And he never cursed anybody, anything. So now here's the picture of Job as a man, and here's the picture of Son of God. Son of God came to suffer, not for himself. He came to die, not for himself, but for us. Job is suffering. He's selfish. He's thinking, my life is miserable. And God is raising this enemy against me, and he is tormenting me. And my life is miserable. And who is making it? God. Jesus Christ knew that Father has given him in the hand of enemies. But the Job is saying, you given to me in the enemy's hand and things like that. Let's read a little bit further.
God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark.
Now he says, you know what? God has delivered me in the hand of the enemy. I was minding my business. I was at peace. But we read in the early chapter, he was never having peace. He was always tormented by fear and anxiety. And he was thinking, if somebody will come and destroy my home, somebody will come and kill my children. He says, whatever I was thinking, it came upon me. So he was a little bit scared from the beginning. But here he's saying, I was in peace. When you have some more problem, then you say, I was better yesterday. Today is more problem. So people, they have to learn, we have to take one day at a time. We have to know that God is with us. We cannot just complain. Take your complaint to God and praise God and thank God and glorify God. Nobody does that. But Job doesn't have any example in front of him. But we have. Jesus Christ suffered for us without a cause. He took all the beating, all the problems from the unbelievers, like a God gave it to him to the enemy's hand. The Job is saying, that's the way God is doing to me. And he's blaming God. Jesus never blamed God. So the same way, if somebody's harassing you, somebody's giving you a problem, you don't go and beat them up. What you say, this is the enemy is doing it. They are not my enemy. They might be my children, my wife, my husband, my friends. But why they are doing this to me, this is the enemy. You fight with enemy and we rebuke the demonic forces. Don't say God sent these things to you. God never does any bad things to you. All good gifts comes from above. God is never doing anything to destroy you. But he's blaming God. That's why these people sitting there and noting down what the Job is saying, and then come back and they try to tell the Job, why are you saying this as a man of God? So here we see he is complaining to God. His life is miserable. People are hitting him. People are mocking him. And he is a very miserable person. And he said, why this happened? Because you did it. Okay, verse 13.
His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant.
Can you imagine? He's saying what God is doing to me. He is sending the enemy like a giant people. I cannot handle it. They're coming to fight me. They're coming to destroy me. And this is God is doing to me. And so he's angry at God and thinking that God is punishing me. A little bit further, if you read, he says, my blood is poured on this earth. And so he is tormented. Nobody took his blood, maybe the wound and everything. So he says, you're wounding on my wound. But that's what happened to Jesus. They were hitting him one after another, and he was wounded for our iniquities. Okay, Job chapter 16, verse 15.
I have sewed a sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust.
Now he says, look at my life. I am wearing the sackcloth and I'm sitting on the dust, and all my dignity, all my power is all gone. And I am like a helpless, worthless person sitting in these ashes. Verse 16, go ahead.
My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death.
Now he's trying to get sympathy from God and the people around. He said, look at my face. My face, I'm weeping and weeping. My eyes are red and weeping. My face is dirty and sweating, and my eyelashes dirty, and I am in the shadow of death. My life is miserable. I'm crying and weeping, and I'm going to die like this. Verse 17.
Not for any injustice in mine hands, also my prayer is pure.
Now he's saying, look at me. I didn't commit any sin. I'm a righteous man. I'm a holy man. And my prayers are pure and holy. And I did not commit any sin. So he's saying, God, what did I do to have all these problems? And he's talking to God and having talk with these people. So they're listening so they can have sympathy. Why we harassing this man is already tormented. Okay, verse 18.
O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place.
Now he's saying, earth, don't cover my blood. Let my blood testify. Where he got this? The Abel was killed, and God came unto Cain, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? What God says? His blood is crying out. And so he is saying, he might have heard somewhere, he's saying, my blood should be crying too. So my blood is not going to just don't cover my blood. Let my blood cry so God can hear my cry. And that's what he's trying to say. Okay, verse 19.
Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high.
See now, up to now, he was so troubled and he didn't know where God is. He says, I don't see God. Where is hiding? Come out and let me see. But now he's saying, you know what? I have witness in heaven. He said, you people do not have good witness for me. You thinking I'm a bad person, but I'm a holy man. My prayers are holy. My heart is pure. I talk to God. I pray to God. And my blood is crying. And God is listening. I have witness. I have witness in heaven. And so he says, my record is God's place. You remember last time he said, oh God, you have my record. You seal my sin and you're going to punish me. And now he's saying a little bit different. He's saying, you know what? God is my witness. My witness is in heaven because I'm a pure and holy man. My blood is testifying and good that my record is clear. I have no sin and my record is clear because God knows I'm not unholy man. Verse 20.
My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God.
He says, my friends, they are torturing me, they are scorning me, they are harassing me, but he says, what I'm doing, my eyes pour out, my tears coming to God. And the word of God says, your tears are put it in the bottle or remembrance. So if you are righteous man and if you crying to God, every drop of your tears is not wasted. So he says, I know I have a witness in heaven, and when I'm praying, God is listening, but my friends are the problem to me. And they are scorning, they are harassing me, but God is watching me. And then he's saying, I need a witness. I need somebody to fight for me or a lawyer for me. Read the verse 21.
Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor.
He says, there should be good neighbor. In the word of God says, neighbors are good. Our friend is good. Friend can give your life for friend. So he says, I'm looking for a friend or looking for neighbor. Somebody can intercede for me to God. Somebody can pray for me, but you people are not doing it. Thank God we have the mediator. The word of God says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Now these people are accusing the Job. He has no mediator. He has nobody taking his case to God. But thank God we have the mediator. Jesus Christ is our mediator. And we don't have to worry about devil. He can bring any complaints about you. But Jesus Christ's blood washes away our sins. And he is our mediator. So we can come to God boldly. Because we don't have a fear like a Job is having. He said, I don't have anybody to plead my case to God. Verse 22.
When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return.
Now before that, he was saying, I can die within a few seconds. My death is hanging over me. I have no peace. I'm going to die. He said, now, not even a few days. He says, few years. Now he's getting somewhere that God is going to come to rescue me. But he's thinking, if my time has come, I'm going to die someday. But God, give me them few years I'm living in this earth. Give me peaceful life. I don't want to suffer like this. Because once I die, I'm not going to return again. He doesn't know. God has created mankind not to kill them and vanish them, not to put them in hell. The word of God says hell is created for the devil and his followers. But we are living in fear and anxiety. He said, if I die, it's finished. I'm not going to return. But we have hope. Jesus Christ, before he died, he told his disciples, they are going to kill me. They are going to bury me. But I will rise again the third day. See how Job is saying, if I die, I will never return. Jesus Christ says, I will die, I will return. That has given us hope of resurrection. Jesus Christ died and rose again. He became the first fruit. Now, we are also called the first fruit. That means when we die, we are not going to vanish away just like Job is saying, but we are going to return. And last week, if you remember, I told you from the Word of God, Jesus Christ promised, if you are a believer, and if you die, I will raise you. And if you are a believer, and if I come back, you don't have to die. So we have more hope than Job. We are not going to die and vanish away. If you die, it's a gain. If you live, we live for Christ. And when he comes, we will be just like him. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We are not going to just die and vanish away, but we are going to rise up. And when you come, we don't have to die. We will be transformed. We have a great hope in Jesus Christ. There are people dying without God and without Christ. But we have the hope of resurrection. Let us go and tell somebody what Jesus Christ is all about. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.